You can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. In order to work at solving these things called problems in your life, you have to change your mind. It is your mind where they live. It is your mind that created them. There is where you experience them. They're all illusions. You must change your mind. Literally, rewrite your agreement with reality.
So if you think 60 to 70,000 thoughts in one day, and we do, and 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts as the day before, and you believe that your thoughts have something to do with your destiny, your life's not going to change very much, because the same thought leads to the same choice leads to the same behavior, the same behavior creates the same experience, and the same experience produces the same emotion. And so then the act of becoming conscious of this process to begin to become more aware of how you think, how you act, and how you feel. It's called metacognition. And so then, why is that important? Because the more conscious you become of those unconscious states of mind and body, the less likely you're gonna go unconscious during the day.
How do you alter your mindset? The only path is through new awareness. You can receive advice all day long. Many people do. They love being told what to do. They're hooked on new books, new ideas, new lists. They learn and learn and learn in all directions except the one that matters most, learning about themselves. There is no getting around this. It's hard to sustain new happiness without new awareness.
What they say, according to cognitive neuroscientists, we are conscious of only about 5% of our cognitive activity. Most people, 1% of their day is in the conscious mind. So every day, you create only from your creation mind, your conscious mind, only about 1% of what is going on in your life. And therefore, 95 to 99% of your life comes from your programming in your subconscious mind.
Old ways won't open new doors. How do you think you can change by doing the same thing, continuing on the same path, taking no risks, no twists, no turns? Nothing's going to change if you're not willing to change. Get up and become something, something more than the familiar route you've been walking for years.
No more, I'll never get out of this problem. The obstacles are too big. I'll never get ahead, never break this addiction, never meet the right person. Don't let a limited mindset keep you from the abundant life that belongs to you.
Only man has the godlike power to make his surroundings change to fit him. Because his environment will change as he changes. A man's environment is a merciless mirror of him as a human being. And if he thinks his environment can stand a little improvement, all he has to do is improve, and his environment will improve to reflect the changing man.
There's this mysterious subconscious mind of yours, and it runs below the awareness of your conscious awareness. So you're not usually even aware of what's going on in there, like what it believes or how it limits your life. The reason it is so powerful is because it stores all of your memories, all of your feelings and emotions, and most importantly, all the limiting beliefs you've acquired since you were born.
You need to understand the subconscious mind of yours. Your subconscious mind rules your life. 96 to 97% of everything that you do is done as a result of your subconscious mind. And when your subconscious mind gets programmed, it goes ahead and responds to whatever it is your conscious mind has placed into it. This subconscious mind of yours is most impacted by your feelings. A change of feeling is a change of destiny.
I think that we define reality with our senses, and I think that is one of the biggest delusions. So the fundamental question is, can you believe in a future that you can't see or experience with your senses yet, but you've thought about enough times in your mind that your brain is literally changed to look like the event has already occurred. Now, the latest research in plasticity says that's absolutely possible. And can you select a new possibility in the quantum field and begin to emotionally embrace that future every single day to such a degree that your body, as the unconscious mind, the objective mind, does not know the difference between the experience in your life that's creating the emotion and the emotion that you're fabricating by thought alone, to the degree that you begin to signal new genes and new ways to change your body to look like the experience has already happened?
Begin to act as would the person you most want to become. Now that is, if you were already in possession of the goal you're shooting for, how would you conduct yourself in all of your affairs? Well, do it now, and tomorrow, and the next day. Begin now to act the part of the person you most want to become, and you'll end by becoming that person. Subtly, in little ways, in the way you dress, in the way you talk, in the unfailing courtesy you show to every person with whom you come in contact, begin to act the part of the person who has already achieved that which you're shooting for. The German philosopher Goethe gave us the secret when he said, before you can do something, you must first be something. When you behave like the person you most want to become, the things that person would have will tend to come to you. It's simply cause and effect. Don't be in too big a hurry. It takes longer to build a skyscraper than a chicken coop. Build slowly, steadily, and well. Then when you make it, you'll keep it. You'll stay on top.
Our beliefs aren't always as conscious as we think they are. We may very well accept an idea on the surface, but if deep down we don't really believe it's possible, then our acceptance is just an intellectual process. Because calling upon the placebo effect requires us to truly change our beliefs about ourselves and what's possible for our bodies and our health, we need to understand what beliefs are and where they come from. Let's suppose a person goes to the doctor with certain symptoms and is diagnosed with a condition based on the physician's objective findings. The doctor gives the patient a diagnosis, prognosis, and treatment options based on the average outcome. The moment the person hears the doctor say diabetes, cancer, hypothyroidism, or chronic fatigue syndrome, a series of thoughts, images, and emotions is conjured up based on his or her past experience. That experience could be that the patient's parents had the condition that he or she saw a show on TV in which one of the characters died of that disease, or even that something the person read on the internet scared him or her about the diagnosis. Once the patient sees the doctor and hears a professional opinion, the patient automatically accepts the condition, then believes what the confident doctor has said, and finally surrenders to the treatment and possible outcomes. And this is done without any real analysis. The patient is suggestible and susceptible to what the doctor says. If the person then embraces the emotions of fear, worry, and anxiety, along with sadness, then the only possible thoughts or auto-suggestions are those that are equal to how he or she feels. The patient can try to have positive thoughts about beating the disease, but his or her body still feels bad because the wrong placebo has been given, resulting in the wrong state of being, the signaling of the same genes, and the inability to see or perceive any new possibilities, the patient is pretty much at the mercy of his or her beliefs and the beliefs of the doctor about the diagnosis. So when healed themselves using the placebo effect, what did they do differently? First, they didn't accept the finality of their diagnosis, prognosis, or treatment. Nor did they believe in the most probable outcome or future destiny that their doctors had authoritatively outlined. Finally, they didn't surrender to the diagnosis, prognosis, or suggested treatment, because they had a different attitude from those who did accept, believe, and surrender. They were in a different state of being. They weren't suggestible to the doctor's advice and opinions because they didn't feel fearful, victimized, or sad. Instead, they were optimistic and enthusiastic, and those emotions drove a new set of thoughts which enabled them to see new possibilities. Because they had different ideas and beliefs about what was possible, they didn't condition their bodies to the worst-case scenario. They didn't expect the same predictable outcome as others who'd received the same diagnosis, and they didn't assign the same meaning to the diagnosis with the same condition. They assigned a different meaning to their future, so they had a different intention. They understood epigenetics and neuroplasticity. So instead of passively seeing themselves as victims of the disease, They used that knowledge to become proactive, fueled by what they'd learned in my workshops and events. As a result, these folks also got different and better results than other people who'd received the same diagnosis. Now think about the average person who receives a diagnosis and promptly announces, "I'm going to beat this." Someone may not accept the condition and the outcome the doctor outlines, but the difference is that most people haven't truly changed their beliefs about not being sick. Changing a belief requires changing a subconscious program. Since a belief is a subconscious state of being, folks who use only their conscious minds to change never come out of the resting state to reprogram their genes because they don't know how to do that. This is where their healing stops. They're unable to surrender to possibility because they're not truly able to become suggestible to anything different from what the doctor tells them. Is it possible that whenever people don't respond to treatment or when their health stays the same, they're living by the same emotional state every day, accepting, believing, and surrendering to the medical model without too much analysis, based on the social consciousness of millions of other people who've done exactly the same thing? Does a doctor's diagnosis become the modern-day equivalent of a voodoo curse when you string a succession of thoughts and feelings together so that they ultimately become habituated or automatic? They form an attitude. And since how you think and feel creates a state of being, attitudes are really just shortened states of being. They can fluctuate from moment to moment as you alter how you think and feel. Any particular attitude can last for minutes, hours, days, or even a week or two. For example, if you have a series of good thoughts that are aligned with a series of good feelings, you might say, "I have a good attitude today." And if you have a sequence of negative thoughts that's connected to a sequence of negative feelings, then you might say, "I have a bad attitude today." If you revisit the same attitude enough times, then it becomes automatic. If you repeat or maintain certain attitudes long enough and you string those attitudes together, that's how you create a belief. A belief is just an extended state of being. Essentially, beliefs are thoughts and feelings, attitudes, that you keep thinking and feeling over and over again until you hardwire them in your brain and emotionally condition them into your body. You could say that you become addicted to them, which is why it's so hard to change them and why it doesn't feel good on a gut level when they're challenged. Because experiences are neurologically etched into your brain, causing you to think, and chemically embodied as emotions, causing you to feel. Most of your beliefs are based on past memories. So when you revisit the same thoughts over and over by thinking about and analyzing what you remember from your past, these thoughts will fire and wire into an automatic unconscious program. And if you cultivate the same feelings based on past experiences, and you feel the same as you did when the event originally occurred, you'll condition your body to subconsciously be the mind of that emotion. And your body will unconsciously be living in the past. And if the redundancy of how you think and feel over time conditions your body to become the mind, and it becomes programmed subconsciously, then beliefs are subconscious and also unconscious states of being derived from the past. Beliefs are also more permanent than attitudes. They can last for months or even years. And because they last longer, they become more programmed within you. If you string a group of related beliefs together, they form your perception. So your perception of reality is a sustained state of being that's based on your long-standing beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, and feelings. And since your beliefs become subconscious and also unconscious states of being, that is, you don't even know why you believe certain things or you aren't really conscious of your beliefs until they're tested, your perceptions, how you subjectively see things, for the most part, become your subconscious and unconscious view of your reality from the past. In fact, scientific experiments have shown that you don't see reality as it truly is. Instead, you unconsciously fill in your reality based on your memories of the past, which is what's neurochemically maintained in your brain. When perceptions become implicit or non-declarative, they become automatic or subconscious, so that you automatically edit reality subjectively. For example, you know your car is your car because you've driven it so many times. You have the same experience of your car daily because nothing much changes about it. You think and feel the same way about it most every day. Your attitude about your car has created a belief about it, which has formed a particular perception about your vehicle, that it's a good car, say, because it rarely breaks down. Although you automatically accept that perception, it's actually a subjective perception because someone else may have the same make and model of car as you do. And that person's car may break down all the time, causing him or her to have a different belief and different perceptions about the same vehicle based on personal experience. In fact, if you're like most people, you probably don't pay attention to several aspects of your car unless something goes wrong. You expect it to run as it did the day before. You naturally expect your future experience of driving your car to be like your past experience yesterday and the day before. That's your perception. But when it malfunctions, you have to pay more attention to it, like listening to the sound of the motor more closely, and become conscious of your unconscious perception of your car. Once your perception of your car is altered because something has changed about the way it drives, you'll now perceive your car differently. The same is true of relationships with your spouse and your coworkers, your culture and your race, and even your body and your pain. Actually, this is the way most perceptions about reality function. Now, if you want to change an implicit or subconscious perception, you must become more conscious and less unconscious. In truth, you'd have to increase your level of attention to all of the aspects of yourself and your life that you've previously stopped paying much attention to. Better yet, you'd have to wake up, change your level of awareness, and become conscious of what you were once unconscious about.